mean, I'm a Manchester United fan and have been for 40 years of my life, but I'm disgusted, absolutely disgusted.
Today, I've walked away from my football club. After 40 years supporting them, I can't support this. I can't.
Pretty much the same as most people's reaction, I think. One of alarm, one of concern, and disgust in many ways.
This isn't football. How much money did he want? These clubs, they mean everything to us.
Soulless. It's beyond belief, actually.
Well, Tim, we're on the other side of the world, but even we can get this great sense of how big this story is. There's no bigger story in the UK right now, and that includes COVID, which has brought, you know, nations around the world to their knees. But right now, the only thing that is dominating the news cycle is this story about a potential breakaway league. Premier League Supremo Peter Drury has been good enough to join us this morning to fill in some gaps for us, as we've got lots of questions, as I'd imagine all of our listeners have. Good morning to you, Peter.
Good morning to you guys. Good evening from here.
Tell, if you can, give us some sense of just how big a story this has been. We were on air yesterday morning when the news first started to permeate, and then as the day wore on, it got bigger and bigger.
Well, listen, you got it absolutely right. Today, the main evening BBC news was led by this story. You know, above all of the other international politics and so on. It's absolutely huge here. And indeed across the whole of Europe, because this is our core sport, and there is a danger that it's going to be horribly undermined. You know, its history, its heritage, its base, its reason for being there, the communities it feeds, the passion it fires in our bellies. You know, it's all threatened by the potential for a league made up of teams who just want to play each other, which will be closed, no danger of demotion, just a complete entitlement, and the effect that it'll have on our competitive football pyramid is potentially horrendous.
Hey, Peter, have FIFA stated that anybody that participates in this competition will be banned from playing domestic and international games? Is that right?
That's what that has been said at the moment. So, in theory, you could have an England team playing. We have the European Championships this summer, as you may or may not know, our summer,
yep,
which were postponed from last year because of COVID. And you could have an England team without any players from Manchester United, Liverpool, Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea and Manchester City. Mm. And that would certainly make for a very interesting England team. You know, those are, of course, they're only threats at the moment. Mm. You know, we're in the first kind of emotional hours after this story really broke. And I think everybody is hoping that the strength of reaction has been so great that there's going to have to be a rethink. Because honestly, I was just saying to your producer, you know, we're in a position here where having this conversation with you isn't in any sense controversial. You know, all I am doing is surfing away. I'm not going out there. I'm not sort of expressing a strong opinion. Absolutely everybody, to a man and woman, is opposed to this. Except, it seems, for the wealthy owners of the clubs involved.
Mm. So, Peter, who actually announced this, and have they formed some sort of consortium? Is there some group that has already become some little association in their own right?
Yeah, well, essentially, yeah. I mean, there is. I think I haven't been there myself, but I think there is a website for this European Super League. 12 clubs have put their names to it. Six of those are from the English Premier League, plus the big two or three in Spain and the big two or three in Italy. To their great credit, a couple of the giant clubs in Europe have said no for now, notably Bayern Munich, who you all know are one of the great clubs of our continent, and Paris Saint-Germain, who are quite a nouveau riche club, but are nevertheless absolutely mammoth. And those two, to this point, have resisted, though I think the European Super League is still courting them. But yeah, they've essentially got together and they are currently, so far as we know, because nobody from those clubs has actually spoken, but so far as we know, they're resisting the sort of clamour to stop doing this. They're resisting all the threats from UEFA and from FIFA, and they're hell-bent on doing it. Truthfully, I'd be amazed if it happened, given the strength of reaction today. You know, that there is no sport. You know, you guys understand this. I know how passionate you guys are about sport. And that there is no sport without people to watch it and support it. And honestly, supporters of great clubs like Liverpool and Manchester United have said, we just won't watch it. And it's also what will be interesting, and I come at it from this angle, working in television. I'd be amazed if a television company would want to dirty its fingers with it, you know, and pay the money they would want, because I have a feeling that fans wouldn't have it. They wouldn't subscribe. Without fans, it would just be a mockery.
It would appear that's the immediate reaction. You know, we hear about the Liverpool fans and their reaction, the passion we can feel coming through. So just it's assuming that groundswell, of opposition continues to grow, and then they read the tea leaves and they say, well, we're not going ahead. Where to for these clubs now then?
That is a really interesting question. And you know, you really would have to read the tea leaves to work that out, because who knows how it'll play out. But there has definitely been a breakdown in trust now.
Mm.
You know, the great northern clubs of our land, especially Liverpool, is probably the most acute example, are all about the relationship between the club and its fans. And actually, there is a very close relationship between the club, or between the players and the fans, between the coach and the fans at Liverpool. But there is going to be, I think, a horrendous mistrust now between those fans and the ownership, because it's a working class city, It's a dock city, Liverpool, where people work hard for their money and they pay their money to watch their team. And if they think that the ownership of the team is disconnected from them, they won't have it. And the same, to a certain degree, is true of Manchester United. Obviously, these are great global clubs, which is why you in Australia have some interest in them. But, they're more than local clubs, but essentially they grew out of their locality. And the local people who actually pay their money through the turnstiles, they need to be taken very, very seriously.
Peter, sorry, just to butt in there. There's been so much money that's been bandied about as to how financially advantageous this will be to those teams that participate. Where is all this money coming from?
Well, I can't answer that. I don't know, except to say that these clubs are owned by some of the very richest people in the world. So money is their thing, and they know how to come by it. I know that's a pretty poor answer and non-specific, but truth be told, the answer is I don't know. What I would say, speaking slightly esoterically, is that wealth, as we all know, is only relative. You know, you're only rich if you're richer than the other people. And I'm amazed at the English clubs, who are in the richest domestic league in the world, which we're very privileged to have in our country, which has built an extraordinary product, which is loved all around the globe, and which therefore gives them relative wealth. You know, they're better off than clubs in other countries because they're part of the Premier League. I'm amazed that they want to go and join in a league where they'll be super, super rich, but only as super, super rich as their immediate opponents. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It seems odd to me, and it just seems so wrong. What I object to is just the assumption that they can have a non-competitive league. And so the dreams of every football supporter in the land, of the smaller clubs who believe that one day their club might be the one who gets through and gets to compete with Manchester United and Liverpool and Chelsea, that they are just entirely disregarded.
It is breathtaking what's going on over there at the moment, Peter. And obviously there's a lot to play out. A lot of other things are going on over there at the moment too. And just quickly before we let you go, Tottenham has sacked Jose Mourinho. Did you see that coming?
Well, no, not immediately. Funnily enough, the fact that those two stories are broken today, there's been some good sort of black humour going around. You know, Jose Mourinho has been sacked despite qualifying Tottenham for the Super League. But they are, in all seriousness, in seventh place. And it's quite surprising because they do have a cup final next weekend. And he might have been able to say, I won them a prize. but that is something that has been denied him now. It just didn't work for him there. You know, the dynamic didn't happen. There were one or two promising moments, but there's a ruthless chairman there, and the fans wanted to fall in love with him, but I don't think ever quite managed it.
Peter, we thank you so much for jumping on this morning and just filling in some blank spots for us and putting some perspective around this. We will continue to follow it. I don't think it's going away, and I'm sure this will be a story for many, many days to come. And we appreciate it, and hopefully we can touch base with you again at some stage.
Of course. Lovely to speak to you guys.
Fantastic.
Peter. Thanks, Peter.
Joining us there, one of Premier League Soccer's biggest name commentators.